Are witches only in movies, or do they exist today? Real life starts now.
Welcome to Real Life with Evangelists Ann and Kathleen Lay, where people with real problems find answers in a real God.
Welcome to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, Evangelist Ann Lay.
Later in the show, you'll hear from Heather Cook, who was on our previous show, who reveals that witchcraft is still deceiving people today.
And I think that with all of the movies that are out and TV shows and video games, sometimes we get so desensitized about witchcraft that it just becomes a fun thing or a magical world that it's non-existent and not true and make-believe. But honestly, even through our show, we've heard of so many stories and testimonies of people who partook in witchcraft, whether it was white or black witchcraft, and how it affected them negatively, and how there were spiritual things that happened in their home and evil things that actually hurt them or their family members.
Yeah, you know, I think sometimes people can think that it's something that doesn't exist, that it's just entertainment. Or people can think that, well, you know, it's something that kind of was a thing of the past.
Yeah.
That it's, you know, no one really believes it anymore. It's just fun for the movies.
Right.
But the truth is, it still is out there. I mean, in the book of Revelations, it talks about that people will still be doing those things. So there's evidence in the Bible that people will be doing it all the way till the end. But how should we think about it? Well, it says in the Bible, in Leviticus chapter 19, 31, it says, "Give no regard to mediums and familiar spirits. Do not seek after them to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God." So the Bible is saying that there is a real counterpart to witchcraft, and it will defile you. There's real power there. There's something there that will do something in a very negative way.
Yeah.
It will ruin your life.
I remember when I was younger and we thought a seance would be fun. And so me and my cousin opened the door to that, trying to bring back the dead. And what happened after that was a demonic feeling you could feel, and you can see almost the spiritual realm where things were happening. The doors were shutting. It was like a scary movie.
Wow.
And I think all too often young people get involved in these things and parents don't teach their kids, stay away from this. Because when you open the door to that, there is evil attached to it. There is a spiritual realm that we don't know about. And to be ignorant of it is not good. We need to know that God is the one who predicts our future. He is the one with us. He loves us, and he doesn't want us to go to the dark side. So we're going to hear more about this from Heather Cook after the break.
Real Life is made possible this week by Zen Asian Sushi and our Awakening Colorado monthly giving partners. Do you ever shop at the Northfield Stapleton Shopping Center? Consider stopping for lunch or dinner at Zen Asian Sushi. Zen Asian Sushi offers a fusion of Japanese, Thai, and Chinese cuisine, all in a brand new, clean, and family-friendly location. Check them out at zensushinorthfield.com or call them at 303-371-4644. That's zensushinorthfield.com or 303-371-4644.
Do aliens exist?
Is there more than one way to God?
Is casual sex okay?
Our new 11th hour TV show is tackling difficult
philosophical,
cultural,
and spiritual questions
in a fun new way from many perspectives to help you decide for yourself.
Watch us on the 11th hour, Mondays at 7 p.m. and Saturdays at 6:30 p.m.
on CTN, available on Comcast and Dish Network.
Dish Network.
For more information, go to www.awakeningthenations.com. That's www.awakeningthenations.com. Welcome back to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Light, and joining me is my husband, Evangelist Ann Light.
Hello, everyone.
Joining us once again is Heather Cook, and she's going to share with us more about her life. She was sexually abused by a babysitter starting at 4 years old, and that went all the way till she was 9 years old. And then at 11, she was given a witchcraft book and ended up becoming a pagan witch. And we're going to find out more about how her life changed when she was diagnosed with heart failure, but a dream changed everything. Let's welcome to the show, Heather. Thanks for being with us.
Hi, Kathleen. Hi, Ann.
Hey.
Hello. Thanks so much for sharing. Now, we were talking about how you ended up putting curses on people. You started doing that at 11, and you saw that there were results that were happening. You ended up doing tarot cards. Tell me a little bit about that. What does that involve? And did you feel like you had power, control? Were you gaining friendships? What were you getting out of doing these things for people who wanted their tarot cards read or their futures known?
Well, a lot of witchcraft is about power and control. the more people I could impress with my prowess, the more powerful I felt.
Mm. Mm. Wow. So were the things that you were foretelling of actually happening? And if so, how do you think those things were actually coming about? Because some people believe, well, there's power in this. This must be good because it happened. It's true. What do you think?
Mostly when I would read tarot or anything like that, I would be able to discern things about people, about their lives, what they may be hiding, what maybe have happened to them. I really wasn't much of a person that would predict their future. It was more about pointing out the issues within themselves that they needed to deal with.
Mm.
A lot of the times, looking back, how did I know these things? There had to be a devil whispering in my ear.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I think people think anything spiritual is good. And you just said, looking back, now you know it wasn't. You are actually building up for yourself things that were coming into your life that were spiritual darkness, things that were pretty freaky, demonic things, when you were opening the doors to these things, thinking it was innocent, but it really wasn't. Tell me a little bit about now moving forward, any of the other things that you want to mention about this witchcraft and being part of this coven that you realize now looking back.
No, I wasn't part of the coven. I was friends with the coven. I tried to keep myself solitary. I was always very much a loner. I didn't trust people.
Okay. Mm.
That's rooted in my childhood. I learned early on not to trust people.
Right.
Makes sense.
When I would interact with other pagans, it was more like who's more powerful than the other.
Mm. Wow.
Almost like a game.
Yes.
Like a sport.
If you want to, yeah.
Yeah.
That would make sense.
So things started to change for you. Tell me about what happened when you were 28 years old.
When I was 28, on September 2nd, 2007, I found out I was pregnant. On September 5th, I went to bed that night and had a dream that was so real. I woke up and my senses were filled with this dream. And in this dream, my friends were going to sacrifice my baby to the devil.
Oh.
And I stole my baby and I ran from them as fast as I could. They hunted me, trying to regain me. And I found myself in a Bible study. I found safety in a Bible study where they put a Bible on my lap and said, we're in Matthew 22. And I woke up and I laughed. And I was like, I'm a pagan. I don't believe in this stuff. Pagans don't believe Jesus was God. They could say he was a great teacher, but they don't believe Jesus was God.
Mm.
36 hours later, I got a phone call from a cardiologist's office. I'd had a heart scan about a month and a half prior. And they told me, if in 3 days you haven't heard from us, no news is good news. But the nurse's voice was urgent. And she said, Heather, we're so sorry, but we misplaced your results in another chart. Your heart is only working at 30% function.
Mm.
It was left ventricle ejection fraction. I was in heart failure.
Oh, wow.
The only words I could squeak out were, I'm pregnant. Mm. And there was that long, dramatic pause. And the nurse's response was cold. And I remember it word for word. I'm not going to say you have to terminate, but you must strongly consider it.
Mm. Wow. So you were in a rock and a hard place because you wanted to have this child and you went in to see this doctor. Tell me about what you found out about this doctor, what he wanted you to do, and then also about Matthew 22.
Well, this doctor urged me to terminate, suggested that I would possibly die from delivering my child or need a heart transplant. And my pagan friends encouraged me to abort too, because how could I leave my husband and three children after the baby was born without a mother?
Right. Mm.
What kind of mother was I for be willing to risk that?
Mm.
But then I told my husband, we cried for 2 hours. Suddenly the memory of that dream came rushing into my mind. And I stormed into the garage and I dug through boxes and I knew there was a Bible in a box out there. And I found it and I flipped through the Bible to Matthew 22. And there it was in bold red letters. I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living.
Oh, yeah.
And there it was in bold red letters, Jesus' words, I am God.
Wow.
You know, I saw the face of Jesus through the book of Matthew 22.
Wow. And here you are, a pagan woman, opening a Bible because the dream told you Matthew 22, after these people were trying to kill your child. And it's exactly what was happening, literally. What happened to you in that moment?
Let's just put it this way. I was knocked off my feet, pretty proverbially speaking. It's one of those moments in life where you suddenly realize everything you know to be true is wrong.
Mm.
And somehow inside, I knew that everything was going to be okay.
Yeah.
I didn't need to trust in my friends. I had someone that cared about me, no matter who I was, how much power I had, or whatever I could do with my life. Mm. I chose at that point to trust a God I barely knew.
Wow. So from this time and through your pregnancy, you came to know Jesus and your life was radically changed. You gave up paganism. You gave up being a witch. How would you say life changed, and how was the baby and you through all this?
Well, throughout the pregnancy, I continued having testing. I got further and further from the pagan life because a lot of the times they were hostile towards me because I was trusting God and not them.
Wow. Mm.
Then at about 30 weeks, I had my final heart scan. And it was on a Friday in March. And the following Monday morning, my OBGYN calls and says, Heather, I can't really explain this. And it doesn't really make sense, but your heart is normal. It's healthy. We don't have to do anything at delivery. And on April 14th, 2008, Tobin Robert Cook was born. Mm. And we chose the name Tobin because it means God is good in Hebrew.
Mm. That's wow. Amazing. And God gave you a new heart and a whole new life with a child. What a powerful, powerful testimony. And there are people listening right now who are wondering, is God real? Is he really the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Is Jesus the way? What's one thing you would say to a pagan or someone listening who's dabbling into witchcraft? What would you say to them?
I would say think. Think with your heart, not with your head.
Wonderful.
And honestly, I would love them. I would love them as much as I could, because I know that God one day will reach out and seek to pluck them from their darkness. If they can't translate that, they're going to come to me. I want to be there for them.
Yeah. Hmm. Wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing this, Heather. I'm so thankful to God that he reached you through a dream. And there are many people who need a touch from God, and we're going to pray for them right now. God bless you and all that you're doing and your little baby boy.
You know, what's really amazing about this story is that you're hearing a person who didn't trust in anybody. How many people do we know like that?
Mm-hmm.
Some people say, don't trust anyone.
Yeah.
It's almost become a doctrine in our society today. Heather had an experience and realized, Jesus is God, and I can trust him. So she experientially trusts him. And look what God did. She found out that God is good. I hear the word that says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And I sense someone's listening who needs to taste that the Lord is good. But my friend, you got to take that step and trust him so he can guide you into his paths. So Jesus, we take a moment. Whoever's listening, we just say together, Jesus, we take a moment to trust you,
yes,
to give you control and say, you are God. And we give our lives to you. We believe you died for us. And we want to walk the walk into what you have for us, into the right green pastures. Mm-hmm. In Jesus' name.
Amen. And he loves you so much that he has the power to forgive you, just as he did Heather for the things she did, and to heal your broken heart. Thank you so much for tuning in. You're listening to Real Life.